When I returned to the States, I found that my mother's death had unsettled me in ways that didn't make sense. Someone had pulled the rug out from under my feet, exposing all the secrets and lies I'd hidden for years. Secrets and lies I believed about myself for too long. For as long as I can remember, from the days of bruised knees and cartoon pajamas, I grew up believing that my dad's death was my fault. What's worse, we never talked about it. And so, as most children would, I lived with my own bare-bones version of the story, which went like this. My father had a brain aneurysm that impacted his personality. He went from being a warm, funny dad to an unpredictable stranger. When I was only 5, he tried to bring his cane down on my skull. I screamed. He fell. And Mom dialed 911. Dad was taken away to the Ayrshire Lunatic Asylum. He escaped one night and drowned himself in the river. And I felt responsible for his death. I grew up full of shame, believing I was a terrible person. I was a disgrace to the family. I was terrified of anger. And when anyone raised their voice, I became 5 years old again, fearing for my own life. I grew up fiercely self-protective and struggled to connect with anyone. And though I'd talked about some of these issues with a counselor, though I'd tried to deal with the shame, my mom's recent death shook things loose in me, things I didn't even know were there. I found myself in an unending cycle of anger and sadness. There was an overwhelming sense that we never said things to each other that might have brought deeper healing. And this is what I've found to be true, though it took me years to discover it. When we don't say the true things, the things that might free us from secrets and lies, the poison seeps out of our lives and into the lives of others. Then anger and sadness surface when you least expect it. I know this because it happened to me. And the person in my line of fire was, of all people, my son, Christian. For their sophomore year at Texas A&M, Christian and 3 of his friends had rented an unfurnished house. The 3 other moms and I decided to split the list of basics that our boys would need. One mom found a dining room table and chairs, one a vacuum cleaner and some basic kitchen appliances, and one a coffee table and barbecue grill. Apparently, that's a necessity for boys in Texas. Barry and I were to find a sofa and an American flag for the front door. Christian decided to drive to the house a couple of weeks before the fall semester began, so he could get the house keys as soon as they were available. He was very excited and asked us if we'd come with him. If you have a child in college, particularly an only child, you understand this. If your child invites you to go anywhere, you accept. We loaded as much of Christian's stuff into our car as we could and made the 3-hour trip. We picked up the keys, the garage door openers, and the welcome package. We drove to a furniture store and found a nice sofa. And after texting pictures of it to the other boys and their moms for approval, we bought it. Christian and Barry took me back to the house while they went off to track down the flag and a few other things on his list. While they were gone, I scrubbed the place down.